Welcome to the Landmark Apostolic Church podcast. We hope that this message inspires you and brings impact to your life. Enjoy the message.
Let's get into my message today, this morning. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. The crucifixion is over. The mock trial is over. The resurrection is over. And many have seen Jesus. He has appeared to many. And now he is standing, making some statements. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. He's given final instructions at the end of the book of Luke when he says that then opened he their understanding, speaking about the disciples, that they might understand the scriptures. Amen. Anybody want to understand the scriptures better? Ask the Lord to help you understand them. He'll help you. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. He said, you've seen this. You now know that I have resurrected, that what I claim to be, I truly am. That I did die, was put in a tomb, and I resurrected. You see me. I stand before you. You put your hands in my nail prints. You see the wounds that were there. You understand I am the Messiah. Truly, I am the Christ. You're witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. That's good news. But tarry... But tarry, everybody say tarry. Everybody understand what tarry means? It's not just a man or a woman's name. Not T-E-R-R-Y, T-A-R-R-Y. Tarry, it means to wait. But wait, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. I just want to preach for the next few moments. On pause. On pause. Nobody likes when you're put on pause, do you? You may be seated today. God bless you. I've got a short video. It's really unrelated to the message outside of the fact that it's a great little story. I wanted to try to figure out a way to fit it into a message sometime. It really doesn't go along with my message at all, but there's a great moral to this little video. And I want you to take the next, it's like a minute and 9 seconds, not very long, so we're not gonna go very long. But I want you to watch this video, if you would. Brother Cody, would you start the video?
There was once a group of 100 people attending a seminar on happiness. The speaker decided to run a group activity. He handed out a balloon to each attendee and told them to write their name on it. The balloons were then collected and placed in an adjacent room. The speaker then instructed the 100 attendees to enter that room and, within 5 short minutes, find the balloon with their name on it. Chaos broke loose as each attendee rushed in, pushing and shoving each other as they desperately searched. For their name. 5 minutes passed and nobody succeeded. The speaker then told each person to pick up any random balloon and give it to the person whose name is written on it. Within a few minutes, everyone has their balloon back. He then said,
"What just happened with those balloons is exactly what happens in our quest for happiness. We frantically look for it all around us, not knowing where it is. Yet our happiness lies in the happiness of others. By giving them their happiness, you get yours."
Moral of the story: happiness and fulfillment rarely come from selfish pursuits, but almost always come from doing good deeds for others. By helping others, we help ourselves.
Did anybody breathe a sigh of relief when the video started playing again? Did anybody feel awkward with that silence? Sure. I was stressed out, and I knew what was going on.
It was awkward. It was weird. When the video was put on pause, everybody's attention shot up to me and wondering what was going on. Even though you realized that I had put the video on pause, you were like, what's going on here? What's happening? And surely he'll start it up. But when I didn't start it back up, the wait became very awkward. I watched as people began to smile and nervously giggle, like, what is this insane pastor of ours doing up here with this video? What's going on? Maybe some were like, wait a second, I really want to hear the rest of the story. I want to know what happens here. I want to know how to pursue happiness. I want to see the answers to what's going on. Don't stop right in the middle, but let me know how the end of the story goes. We don't like being put on pause, do we? It's uncomfortable when we're made to wait. We don't like being told to hold on a second or being put on hold. I watched my grandson yesterday trying to jump into a conversation between me and his father. And he was wanting his father to listen to him, but his father and I were in the middle of an important conversation. We were discussing something, and his father said, hold on just a second. Me and Grandpa are talking now. And he stood there, and he got all antsy, and he was doing one of these little numbers. I thought, you might want to listen to him. He might be telling you I got to go to the bathroom. You know, I'm not quite sure here what his problem is, but it wasn't something quite so critical. And finally, he allowed my grandson to speak to him, you know, and found out that it was just a little typical thing. But it's not in our human nature to be told to wait and enjoy it. It's not in our human nature to enjoy being put on pause. I am quite certain that I'm not the only one in the room today that hears one of the most annoying things that I've ever heard in my life when I make a phone call to a company and I hear that automated voice say, your call is very important to us. Please remain on the line and a representative will be with you shortly. I want to scream as loud as I possibly can, liar! You are lying to me. You know, what I do appreciate is those that offer you the opportunity to leave your callback number, and they'll call back in the order in which you had called in and all those things. But those that really just go on, and why is it? Why is it they have to feel like they have to come back on like every 25 to 30 seconds and remind you that we still know that you're there. Your call is just on repeat and over and over and over again. And, you know, 15 and 20 minutes later, you're still sitting there listening to that annoying music that is only broken up by that annoying voice that tells you the same thing that it's already told you the last 15 or 16 times that you're very important to them. And I'm not feeling very important at that moment. I don't feel very important because I've been put on hold. I've been put on pause. I've been told, you've got to wait. We're not ready to speak with you yet. 20 minutes later, when my blood pressure's at stroke level, someone finally answers the phone in a very friendly voice. I'm like, oh, finally. But yet about 50% of the time, it's like, oh, you've reached the wrong department. Let me transfer you. I'm like, no, wait, don't transfer. Don't transfer. And they'll transfer you, and the whole cycle starts all over again. Your call is very important to us. I will admit that there have been times when I've said, it's just not worth it. Click. I'll deal with this later. I've got to go take a Prozac or two. I've got to do something to calm my nerves down. I've got to get out and take a walk. I've got to settle down here. I'm so keyed up because somebody has told me you must wait, and I can do nothing about it outside of wait. Now, this modern generation has something called TV on demand. But the generation that I grew up with, we had never heard of such a thing as binge watching a show.
Everybody knows what binge watching is, right? You come home, you got all day with nothing to do, and you've just decided I'm going to lay around my PJs all day and watch Little House on the Prairie for the next 48 hours straight. Binge watch a show episode after episode after episode, only to be interrupted on the occasional time where you have to get up and use the bathroom, or you're hungry and you want to go get a snack, and then right back to watching the next episode. If you wanted to know what happened, you know, if Lassie was going to save Timmy out of the well, the worst thing in the world to me as a kid was when it got to the end of a show, instead of coming to the conclusion, it would say, to be continued. Anybody remember that? It's like, dear Lord, I hope I can be back next Friday to find out what happens. Does Timmy get out of the well? You know, does Paul rescue, half pint? You know, whatever the case may be. You couldn't just go ahead and go forward with the show. You had to wait until the next episode was on. We were made to wait. Had no choice but to wait. There was no such thing as Cartoon Networks. You couldn't go to and watch cartoons anytime you wanted to. No, you had to wait for Saturday morning or get up early before school and watch Heckle and Jekyll for a half an hour, you know? That's what you had to do. You couldn't just see it anytime you wanted to. My great-grandmother, she had a wood stove that she had to wait for it to heat up, and she drew water out of a well that was out in their backyard someplace. And these are some of the things that some of the older ones here might remember, but most of us cannot imagine not having instant access to these amenities. I heard something the other day that talked about the hot shower that I took this morning, and hopefully you did too. The hot water that you can pour, draw yourself a bath. For you fancy people, say, I'm going to draw myself a bath. Well, get out your pen and paper, and you draw yourself a bath. You know, we are of a generation now. That has only been something that everybody has become accustomed to over the past maybe 70, 75 years. My grandparents, they didn't know what that was like until they were up into their adult years. It was get out the wash basin and pour a little water in it and take your Saturday night bath, whether you needed it or not. And they didn't have the luxury that you and I take for granted, where you can just turn on the water, make it whatever temperature you're comfortable with, and step into that shower, get down into that hot tub of water and relax for a while. No. They didn't have that kind of a luxury. They had to wait. There's some here that will not have an electric stove. Why? Because you don't want to wait for the elements to heat up. I just want to flip the switch and have the gas. Here we go. We demand instant response. The phone is never, never fast enough. I wonder if anybody remembers this. Let's see if you remember this sound. Who still has dial-up? Nobody. No, but I can still remember. Y'all, you have dial-up. Dear Lord, oh my goodness, we need to get this lady out of the Stone Age. Amen. Does it still make that racket when you dial up? No, that's dial-up. That fax machine sounds the same way, but that's the way my first computer sounded when I wanted to connect to the internet. You might as well go ahead and hit connect and then go downstairs and make supper, you know, and then come back up before it's ready. We had to wait, and we were happy with that because that was a whole lot faster than breaking out the encyclopedia books. Now, if you're old school and you still like encyclopedias, come talk to me, because I have a whole set down in my basement that I have no idea what to do with. If you would like those, I would love to give those to you, no charge. But we probably won't have any takers today. We've got information at our fingertips. That little trilling noise is a thing of the past, because we wanted faster and faster. We're accustomed to the instantaneous. We're accustomed to on demand. As a matter of fact, I was thinking the other day, I wonder if Geico still does that. If you got 15 minutes or less, they're going to have to step up their game, because nobody's got 15 minutes to give to Geico to see if you can save a little bit on your insurance. You better do it a whole lot faster than 15 minutes if you want my time. Rush, 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 go, 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 faster, quicker, instantaneous. I want my food now. I want my medicine now. I want fixed now. Everything is right here, right now. But there are some things that you cannot rush. I noticed pulling into the church today that we have these beautiful rose bushes out here that Brother Graham and Brother Reese planted several years ago now. Those two men worked very hard to make that beautiful. And I was waiting, hoping that those roses would be bloomed fully today. There's only about three or four roses on each plant. If I had my druthers, those things would be fully bloomed on a Sunday when we have our biggest crowd here. It's during the day, and you're going to pull in, you're going to say, oh, look at those beautiful rose bushes. But probably, did anybody notice the rose bushes today? Anybody? Nobody. Because there's not much to see. I would have enjoyed, had they been in full bloom, and heard a few people say, my, did you see the rose bushes on the way in today? If I had my druthers, I'd snap my fingers, and at 8 o'clock this morning, those things would have went poop, and they would have popped out, and they'd have been in full bloom, and then they could have dissipated later on down the road during the middle of the week when there's not a whole lot of us here to see them. But you can't rush that bloom of that flower. You can't plant a tree in your backyard today that's a sapling and demand that I need shade by this time tomorrow. It's not going to happen, right? There are some things that are valuable that you simply have to allow nature to bring to fulfillment. It was the last thing that Jesus said to those that were with him on Bethany's hill before he ascended from this earth. He's standing there. He says, go. Tarry. That's almost an oxymoron. Go and wait. Can I really do both of those things? He said, go to Jerusalem, and I want you, when you get to Jerusalem, to find a place. I want you to plant yourself there, and I want you to wait, because there is something that is on its way. There's a promise that's coming. He let them know that. He told them, there is a promise that is coming to you after I go away. There's a promise. I believe at this point, they could believe whatever Jesus said. He had already proven that he could defeat death. He had already proven who he was. In their mind, there was nothing that he could not do, so there was no need for them to doubt. And Jesus said there was a promise that was coming, that there was a promise that was coming. But he tells them, don't get distracted. I want you to go, and I want you to wait, because this promise is coming to you. I don't want you to think about everything that's going on that needs your attention in your outside life. This promise that is headed your way is worth waiting for. But it was not an instantaneous, an immediate promise. There was a gap between the promise and the power. The power was coming. The Holy Ghost was on its way. But he put them on pause, and he made them wait. I'd ask myself this. There was a whole lot more that had seen him. We have no idea just how many totally that he had seen after his resurrection. There were many people, I believe there were many people that started off in that upper room. More than 120, that's my belief. But day after day, it got whittled down a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more until there were 120 that were left. I have to wonder how many, I'm just going to get real personal. I have to wonder how many that are in this room today that if we were given a promise of a power that we would wait for 10 days. I got a job I got to go to. Good excuse. I got school that I have to attend. I've got things I need to take care of. I've got grass that needs to be mowed. I've got a house that needs to be painted. I've got windows that need to be cleaned. I got to gas up the lawnmower. We've got all these things that are taking place in our life that cause us to sometimes put the power that Jesus has promised us aside for the here and now that is going to fade away. Jesus made intentionally, I believe, a gap, a pause, a time of waiting in order to see who was truly committed to him above all else, who could truly put aside the things and the cares of this life and the responsibilities that we have and truly stand upon his word and what he promised would come. Who was going to wait? Now, you got to understand, they didn't know it was going to be 10 days. If you knew exactly how long it might be, you might take a vacation, a couple weeks vacation in order to be there. But he didn't say in 10 days, the fulfillment of this promise is going to come. He just said, wait. We're in the day and hour of 10 and 15 minute altar calls. We're in the day and hour where we think that if we prayed for 10 or 15 minutes, that we've done God a favor. And we wonder sometimes why the promise doesn't get fulfilled in our life. We wonder sometimes why we don't see some things happening that we're praying about. I believe that God still has some things that he wants us to wait on. When is the last time somebody got lost and put their phone away and put their watch away and you got lost in your prayer closet and you don't even remember how long you were in there for, but you just got carried away in the spirit and all time was set aside and all responsibilities and distractions were set aside and nothing else mattered to you except connecting with God Almighty? When's the last time? And the last time we weren't looking at our watch or clock and saying, is prayer meeting almost over? Is church almost over? When's he going to stop preaching? When are they going to stop praying? When are they going to stop singing? When's the last time that we didn't start looking at our watches and start thinking, I got stuff to do. I'm getting a little hungry in my belly. There's some things that I've got to take care of. I've already got plans for the rest of this day. He better not mess it up. My intention today is try to help us understand the power that is afforded us through the greatest life-changing experience the world has ever been given. There's a promise. There's a promise that is yours. How can you say that? Because the word says it. For the promise is unto you, your children, all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This promise, this New Testament promise of the Holy Ghost, the power of God unto salvation, this New Testament promise of his spirit dwelling inside of a man, it is for you. Don't you ever doubt. You can have this promise for yourself. You can have the Holy Ghost for yourself. You can have the peace that comes from having that Spirit of God dwell inside. It is for you. But don't lose out on receiving it because of your impatience while you're waiting. Pentecost is much more than a word that we use to put over the church door. We're apostolic in doctrine. But the power of that apostolic doctrine comes through the experience of Pentecost. That same spirit that blew into that little upper room, 120 people were inside of that room over 2,000 years ago and started this New Testament generation. It's the same spirit that can be felt in this place today. God has not lost any of his power. I believe it is we that have lost our ability to wait on the Lord. You can have a brand new vehicle sitting in your driveway with an empty tank of gas and it's not going anywhere. All the mechanics can be in place. The ignition can work, the steering wheel, tie rods, wheel bearings, engine. But with no fuel, it's going to sit. And you can have the understanding of scriptures, but until you have the power of Pentecost, until you have the Holy Ghost taking up resident inside of you, until you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, your relationship can only go so far. You may have all the mechanics in place, but you must be born of water and of spirit to see the kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciples in verse 48, I'm paraphrasing for you today, he said, you've seen a lot. They had watched as he had performed miracles. They had been there, seen the mighty power that he possessed and used to benefit the needs of the people and those that were around him. But now they're standing there saying their goodbyes, and Jesus is giving that final instruction. He says, there's a promise that's awaiting you. Don't be afraid. Don't be so impatient that you miss the fulfillment of that promise. He gives a promise. The promise brings power. But he does not give them a specific time. Anybody ever been like me and you want God to work on your time clock? You want God to fix it when you want it fixed? You want God to handle it in the time frame that you want him to handle it? What's comfortable for you? What's best for you? You know what? What's best for the situation is not always what is best for me. I believe God sees the end from the beginning. His word declares that. God works in ways that are higher than my ways. There were many more people that were at the giving of the promise than were at the fulfillment of the power. Somewhere during the pause, people began to fall away. People began to get distracted. People began to, if they had social media back then, they'd have been on their phone and been like, you know what, I've got things on my calendar, on my planner. Oh, this person's texting me, that person's calling. I missed 7 calls. I've got to take this. I'm sorry. I've got to take this. You guys, hey, hold the fort. God is not afraid to let us wait in order to separate committed, casual. Who's here to serve me with all of their mind, body, spirit, heart, soul? Or who's here just for the loaves and the fishes? You'll find that the difference in numbers between those that follow for the loaves and the fishes is far more than those that follow for the word. Jesus looked around and he looked at his disciples. He said, where'd everybody go? He said, well, you spoke of some tough things. Sometimes, you know, I like to preach the easy messages. I like to preach the fun messages. I like to preach the messages we can all rah-rah to. Yeah, we're Patty Pentecostal. We're Andy Apostolic. We know how to love those things. We can get with it, and those are fun. But you really find out who's committed and who really, really wants to serve the Lord when you preach on the hard things. It's a dividing line, and that's not always a bad thing, because I don't want something to come in that's going to destroy good. Disciples looked at Jesus and said, well, Master, you kind of saying some heavy stuff here. You're talking about commitment now. They just came out for you to feed them. They're hungry, Lord. They came out to see the miracle, the miraculous feeding of thousands of people from, you know, a couple of fish and some loaves of bread, and you fed everybody. That blew everybody's mind, but you had to start talking about the commitment stuff. You had to start talking about things that needed change in their life. And, well, once they got their bellies full, they were comfortable and they kind of got sleepy and everybody just kind of walked away. Jesus looked at them and said, are you going to leave me too? He gave them an opportunity to walk away. But they had an understanding. Where else are we going to go? There's no place to go but right here. You've got the words of everlasting life. We're looking beyond just the next meal. We're looking at eternity. We're looking beyond just the here and now. God, if you don't know it by now, Jesus, if you don't understand it by now, we're committed to you, and thank you for giving us an opportunity to walk away, but we want you to know we're not going anywhere. I wonder if there's anybody in the house of the Lord today that's made up your mind, no matter what comes my way, no matter what kind of hardship I have to face, y'all, I'm not going anywhere. If I've got to wait the rest of my life to see the power fulfilled in my life, I'm going to wait, but I'm not going anywhere. I'll be right here, Lord. I'll be right here standing. I'll be right here waiting, because the wait is worth the fulfillment of the promise. Music would come today. Acts 2 and 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that means when the time was right. Like I said, God is the God of order. He doesn't always fill us in on his timetable, his plan. But he knows. When the time was right, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, kind of reminds me of the other night in that hospital room. My mother-in-law had had days where I know she was praying. She was handcuffed by trying to follow my father-in-law's direction not to let everybody else know, and so she had to carry that by herself for a while. And then we got the news, and the news just got worse and worse. You know, we were praying. It got worse before it got better. And we basically come to terms with the idea that this might not go the way that we want it to go. Even the doctor looked at us and he said, he's in God's hands. We've done everything we can do. That was his words. We've done everything we can do. He's in God's hands. You know, when he said he's in God's hands, there was a little spark of faith jumped in me. That's right. You've done everything you can do. He's in God's hands. And in that moment, God could have turned things around, but he waited and he made us wait until we were gathered together in that hospital room, and his children and his wife were around him, lifting up his name, lifting up their father before the Lord. God, oh God. I walked in that room, there was a peace that passes our ability to understand. My wife was baffled by it. I've always been worried about her. She's so close to her mom and dad. I've always been concerned that how would she handle that. But I watched her show strength, character, and she said to me, she said, this has to be the peace that passes all understanding. She said, I should be falling apart right now, but I'm not. But there's something about the family of God when they begin to bind together. There's something about prayer that is powerful. We're standing in that hospital room wanting our answer right now. If we could have changed it that morning, if we could have changed it, he'd have never gone into the ER. God would have just healed him right now, but right then. But we were made to wait. But there came a suddenly moment. Can I tell somebody here today, things can turn around just like that. But they can't if you give up. They can't if you walk out. They can't if you quit. If you give up and walk away, then you've handcuffed God, amen, from doing what he can do. But if you'll just continue to wait, God can give you a suddenly moment. And I experienced that moment when I looked at that thing as it was falling, falling, falling. Stop. Quit falling. Now watch it jump up a couple numbers. Then jump a couple more numbers. And then it kept continuing. We had our suddenly moment. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't do that just for me. He'll do that for any one of us today that is willing to simply wait on him. Would you stand to your feet with me today? I don't know what you've been waiting on. I don't know what God has held you off on. Maybe it's been years. Maybe it's been decades. I know we have a great, awesome testimony that I could have Sister Price come up and talk about. And she's prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed before for years and years and years. And suddenly something happened just a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I'll just tell you this much. She continued to pray. And when she prayed over something, and she said she felt the presence of an angel come in, take what she had been given, and go right back out. And she said, I felt like he was on a mission. Well, let me tell you something, some things that have not been broken in a long time. God is doing some amazing things in this church. Amen. But you got to be willing to wait on him. You got to be willing to tarry. Don't get lost in the pause. Don't get lost in the waiting. Be patient.
Thank you for listening. Special thanks to those that give generously to this ministry. If you would like more information, please visit our website at landmarkapostolicchurch.net. But have a great day and God bless.